Good morning, family and friends of Alamo United Methodist Church. That is Alamo, the place to be on Sunday mornings. For those who found us on their radio at FM 96.9 in San Antonio, we are located at 4071 North Foster Road. For anyone looking for a new church home or just one to visit, come and worship with us 10:30 any Sunday morning. Everyone is welcome. Our opening scripture for this morning is Psalm 23, taken from the 1611 King James Version of our Bible. Listen for God's word in this reading. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Oh, wonderful and awesome God. Nothing is impossible for you, O Lord. We ask, Lord, but first of all, we just want to say thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you for everything that you've done for us here. We thank you, Lord, for the blessings that you bestowed on you. Thank you, Lord, that we were able to have this health fair and no rain. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, we ask that you would continue. But you know what, Lord? We ask way too much. We just want to say thank you this morning. Thank you for all that you're going to do. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Still my turn, isn't it? At this time, let us stand up and wave to each other and say hello and pass the peace. There you go. Amen. Amen. Did you see everybody? Yeah, you... If you got a chance to see everybody and wave at everybody, that's good. Amen? Amen.
Laid out in your word, and it is forever true and established in the heavens. for which I pray in your holy name. In Jesus' name. All right, good morning. Now, I just have to say, I feel blessed to be a part of this congregation.
I surrender all.
Daily live, I surrender all. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
This week's scripture is from Psalms 119:89-97. Your word, Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens. Your faithfulness continues through all generations. You established the earth, and it endures. Your law is endured to this day, for all things serve you. If your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have preserved my life. Save me, for I am yours. I have sought out your precepts. The wicked are waiting to destroy me, but I will ponder your statutes. To all perfection I see a limit, but your commandments are boundless. Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
join me as we pray together. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for this morning, and we thank you, Lord, for our pastor, Ted, who will be bringing us the message. And we ask, Lord, that you let us hear the most important parts of the message and accept them and take them to our community. Lord, we ask that you be with each of us as we hear the message you have given us through Ted. And we ask that you watch over us as we live in this message. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
While the children are coming, I just want to say this about yesterday. If I didn't learn anything else yesterday, I learned how to put up canopies. If it hadn't been for John Morrison and Alan Rayburn, I'd have still been out there trying to put up a canopy even today. So I learned to do that, but I also saw this church, Alamo United Methodist Church, working together. And I got to tell you, folks, that was beautiful. I thank you so much for whatever you could do. Thank you. But for me, I was just glad to see you out there. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Researching stuff that I'm going to talk about up here with y'all. So thank you for the opportunity for me to learn more in the Bible by doing this for you. But so Psalms, it's what we're talking about today is how even through the test of time, the Bible has always been there. So let's talk about something that would kind of relate with y'all. So it says it's generation, it's withstand the time of generation to generation. But I think it's kind of hard for y'all to understand generation to generation, right? Because it's hard for you to know. So in the old days, we used to have telephones that were connected to the wall. And the only way that you could go and talk on somebody is, I remember I begged my dad to give me this cord that was like 15 feet or 20 feet. So my parents didn't allow me to have a phone in my room. They only had one in the main living room. I wanted to go talk in my room, but the only way for me to talk in the room is to stretch this cord as hard as I can and to get in my room. But now we have these, right? Cell phones. We take them everywhere. So the old cell phone was like a brick that you had, and only like people that had a lot of money had these. I mean, they were like really expensive, right? They were huge. They were like in a suitcase. You kind of carry them around. So it's like changed. Everything's changed. Anyway, but God's love has always stayed the same for us, right? And so Psalms talks about the law and the rules of God's love. So it says, I have seen the limit to all perfection, but your commandment exceeds broadly. This is a poet way of saying that God is perfect, complete, significant, limitless, and undefeatable. This is the average person's view of the Bible to be narrow a book. But the psalmist says that Bible is exceedingly broad. It is significant to meet you at all points of your need. Some think that we must add a scripture to reach a person for where they are. But this is not a place a person, there is not a place a person can be where scripture cannot reach them. The word of God is exceedingly broad. So it's already proven to us that God's word and God's love can withstand the test of time. They're still doing it the way we still believe, the way that it was written many, many years ago. right? So remember that no matter where you are, whether it's happy times, sad times, we always should thank God for what he has taught us in the Bible. All right, let's say a prayer. Repeat after me. Dear God, thank you for your word. Thank you that we can read the Bible to know your law and heart. Help us meditate on it and savor it like a tasty treasure. Thank you for your love. We love you, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. This is our second week of following Jesus series. If you can recall, the first week we talked about being close to God and how he wants to be close to us. This particular second series of this is called Living and Active. Living and Active, consumed by his words, by his blessed word, his word being God's word. And I am excited about this topic, and what we got today is living and active. And living and active is one of the most essential and key things for us as followers of Jesus. Now, Jan read Psalms 119 through 89 through 97, so I'm not going to read that over. But I will tell you this. This is talking about the way David talks about his relationship with God and his love and passion for the word of God. And when you read Psalms 119 or any other portions of David and how he talks about the word of God, it stirs something inside of me, and it inspires me to read and engage God's word at a whole nother level. But you know what, folks? For some of us, the thought of sitting down and consistently reading the Bible, it seems more like crazy or boring. You know, I think many don't engage in his word because we see it more as homework, schoolwork. I'm one who did not like schoolwork. I thought it was not, I'm not going to say that in front of these kids. Shut up, Ted. And we see it more as schoolwork or some type of religious obligation. And a lot of people say, and including myself, used to say, I should read the Bible. I know it's going to make me a better Christian. I should read it. You know. And perhaps you may see it just as a list of rules or a manual or something that you use when you get stuck in a particular portion of your life. But I got to tell you this, dear ones. It is way, 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 way more than that. It is the living and active God's word. And it is different from any other book that you can read. Hebrews 4:12 says this, for the word of God is a living and active and full of power. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, and it can penetrate even to the soul. This is how God's word is so powerful. And the word of God is beyond just words. It's not like the other books, you know. And books are good, but the Bible is not like any other book. It's more than just a self-help or some type of inspirational read. You know, there's something going on in those words. It's active. It's alive. And it says there's something life-giving in every word, and it breathes and it speaks life as we read it. You know, in God's word are the words of life. In his word are the words of peace. If you want to know how to live like Jesus, you go to God's word. It'll tell you everything you need to know. You see, the Bible or God's word is active today to speak and breathe life into your daily life. It's active. It's at work even in your life. You know, In a chemical formula, there's always some type of reaction. You know, you got action reaction. It activates it. You know, and the Holy Spirit breathes His power into life, into each word. So it's more than just words on a page, dear one. It's more than just good thoughts. It has been activated by the living God, which means that it will do what? It will produce results in your life if you will consistently read it and put it to action. In 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17, the Apostle Paul is talking to Timothy, the young minister, and he's giving him some great advice about God's Word. And also for us, it says, all Scripture is God-breathed, given by divine inspiration. And this is what it's for. It's good for instruction. It's for conviction of sin. It's for correction. It's for restoration and for obedience and for training in righteousness. It's learning to live in God's conformity to God's will. That's how powerful God's Word is. There's life in God's Word that changes us when we come in contact with it. And you know, anybody who consistently, key word there, consistently engages the Bible during their daily life, you will experience transformation. If you encounter the living Word, and if you allow it, if you let it get in your thoughts and your heart, your habits, and even into your relationship, you will experience the change agent of the Spirit empowered by the Word of God. Even in this verse, 119, Psalms 119, 130, it says, the unfolding of your words give life. It gives understanding to the simple. Some of us grew up in homes that loved to read the Word. Some of us grew up in environments that perhaps were maybe dysfunctional and they weren't interested in what the Bible says. And as a result, the home is far, far from the transformation flow of God's Word. In other words, what we need to do is study, live, and read His Word, meditate on it, and most of all, put it into action. And the good news is this. It's no matter what your past or current situation, whatever you're facing, even if in the last few generations of your family, even if they have been wrong, everything, listen to me, can change if one person decides to fully embrace and live out God's Word. Now, how do we engage and experience the full value and benefits of God's Word? How do we make it living and active in our lives? See, one of the primary ways that God wants to speak to you is this. It's through His Word. If you don't consistently read God's Word, then you are definitely missing out on some great conversation. Because in God's Word, He's going to speak to you if you will read it. If you will read it. If you ever wanted God to speak to you, and I know I do, the good news today is that you can hear from God every day. Isn't that awesome? You can hear from Him every day if you will consume and get into His Word. So, there's two things that we can do to access the wisdom and power of God's Word. You can consume it. I consumed quite a few hot dogs yesterday. But that's not the consuming that the Lord's talking about here. You know, we have to consume it. We got to take it all in. It says, in John 6:28-35, it says, they ask Him, what must we do to do the works of God requires? And Jesus answered, He says, a work of God is this, to believe in the one He has sent. So they ask Him, What sign then will you give us that we may see it and believe it? What will you do? And then they go on to say, our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness. And as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. But Jesus said to them, very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, But it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is a bread that comes down from heaven and gives it to the world. And they said to him, Sir, they said, always give us this bread. And then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never, ever go hungry. And whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Oh, what a powerful passage. You see, Jesus is helping us make the connection between supernatural bread that God has sent his people from heaven in the form of himself, and comparing that to what he sent down through heaven, Moses, in Moses' time. The bread that came from heaven is Jesus. And if you taste of that bread, if you consume that bread, as Jesus said, you'll never go hungry. Never go hungry. I want you to remember this. When it comes to consuming God's word, remember this. When you're at the dinner table, it's all about manners and being polite. You know, make sure you got the right spoon and you don't sip coffee from the saucer, stuff like that. You know, don't slurp your food, all the things that I know I don't do. So be polite, okay? You always wait your turn. But you don't apply these rules to your spiritual dinner table when you consume God's word. You want to get as much of God's word into your life as possible. As much of it as you can. You see, consume God's word. You know, and consuming God's word, you consume it like your very life depends on it. Because you know what? It does. If you want a strong relationship, get into the word, consume it. If you want to see your marriage keep growing, get into the word and consume it. If you want to raise great godly children, you got to allow the word of God to be your teacher rather than just the latest cultural parenting trend. You see, are you looking for a better or a healthier future? The answer is written in the word of God. If you want to see your finances grow, it's in the word. Consume it. You see, the principles of God's word are life and light to everyone. You know, one of the most powerful elements that God teaches us about the bread is in the wilderness. You see, you don't just need bread from time to time. You don't want to get stale or old bread. You need and want fresh bread every day. When God sent the manna from heaven, he gave them a very basic rule. He told them that do not consume more than what I told you, because if you do, it's going to rot and it's going to turn to worms. And he did this because he wanted to give them a fresh dose of manna. He wants us to get a fresh revelation and teaching from his word every day. Don't just wait till Sunday morning to hear a Bible verse or in Bible study. Read it daily. Here's a little tip for you to help you to read your Bible consistently. Try developing a reading plan, a Bible reading plan. And there's information all over the web to help you with that. Now, you consume it. Now you let it consume you. Let it consume you. John 15:7 says, if you remain in me, my words remain in you. Ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. Oh, I tell you, dear one, God's word is awesome. It's living and active. But you can't experience it if you don't read it. You can't experience it if you don't take the time and get in a quiet place and read and meditate on it. And not only that, when you read and meditate on it, be obedient to it. You see, it's living and active. It's at work in all areas of a believer's life. It's in saving your soul. James 1:21 says, therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept that word that's planted in you. That's the word that can save you. It can also renew your mind. Romans 12:1-2 talks about, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies, all of ourselves, as a living sacrifice, for the renewing of our minds. Oh, I tell you, folks, how can you not read His Word? Oh, you just don't know what you're missing. And it will sustain your body. Hebrews 1:3 says, the sun is a radiance, the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful word. And after He had provided purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven.
Please join me in the prayer that Jesus taught us when He said, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And as we go from here today, let us remember those less fortunate than ourselves and continue to pray for all who are homebound or ailing in any way. Be friendly and be safe, and let us join together here again next Sunday to receive the message that our pastor will bring us. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Our closing hymn is Sweet, Sweet Spirit. There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place, and I know that it's the spirit of the Lord. There are sweet expressions on His face, and I know they feel the presence of the Lord. Sweet Holy Spirit, sweet heavenly dove, sweet expressions on his face. And I know they feel the presence of the Lord. Sweet Holy Spirit, sweet heavenly dove, stay. Without a doubt, we know that we have been revived when we shall in this place. Go in peace.